I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Oversharers podcast, and my name is Hala.
I'm Colton.
And let's get started. Woo! Guys, today is Valentine's Day. Happy Galentine's Day, ladies.
Happy Galentine's Day to the galleys.
We love you. Oh my God, today I was driving and I saw like a bunch of construction men coming out of a flower shop with lots of red roses. Good for them.
Do you remember on the tube?
There
was this man with just like a bag of balloons. Loads of flowers.
Oh, and he went to Selfridges. Let's not forget that. Oh, yeah. A little yellow bag.
Did you clock that as well?
A little yellow bag. Oh, some men are treating their women rightly.
Yeah, they're treating them good.
How have you been this week, Colton? We've had a very
long week.
Yes, indeed. First of all, we went to Dublin for the first time ever.
Yeah, but we didn't get to really experience much of it, did we?
No. But I feel like the people that we met were just so nice. Like, Irish people are just so nice.
Genuinely so nice and chatty. Just like, everybody super chatty. That we came across had a chat with us.
Literally. They were so nice. I just feel like they're very welcoming.
And you'd never get that kind of...
Ever in London.
In London.
Do you think
that kind of reception?
No.
Everyone's just so mean here.
No, honestly, the coach, the bus,
the cabs. The first cab guy was my fave.
Yeah, he was. He was really funny. I feel like all round.
Just really nice
people. Irish people are very nice. Very nice.
I saw this TikTok and I don't know if it came up because the algorithm was Irish. But basically it was like... So the title was something along the lines of how my Nigerian family received my Irish husband.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you just see them all dancing at the wedding. It was amazing.
I love it, honestly.
It was like Irish people wearing like traditional Nigerian clothes.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, wow.
No, I actually love it. And I understand what people mean by Irish charm.
Irish charm, yeah.
I really do. They're just, it's their accent, it's very smooth. They just know how to hold a conversation. Yeah, man. Listen, if there's any Irish smileys out there, hello.
Holla at us.
We really want to speak. We want to understand what makes London depressing. Because honestly, I've seen a different life. Even when I was taking a walk in the park, this woman was just smiling at me walking up. Do you think that ever happens in London? Anyone will ever smile at you?
No, they'll either just like stare at you or they'll just be really moody and
literally,
just look down. And
look depressed.
Do you remember when we were on the tube back? And then I was like, doesn't this remind you of New York?
Oh my God, New York was very depressing on the tube. Oh my God. You could see despair.
Yeah, you can just see sadness.
Everywhere. But, you know, we didn't try a train in Dublin, but I'm assuming it's a lot happier.
It would have been like...
People
just
like nice, yeah, literally. People having nice conversations. Anyway, why did we go to Dublin, Colton?
We went to Dublin to see our favourite artist ever.
I mean, I wouldn't say he was our favourite when we first went, but now he's my favourite again.
Well, coming back from that trip,
yeah, I loved it.
Love him.
Love him.
Honestly, amazing. Chris Brown, if you're watching, Chris Brown, you are fantastic.
Just all-round top performer. Kept me engaged.
The singing.
It was just
like, I don't know, it was like an experience, wasn't it?
It really was. And I just felt like when he sang Forever, it was like...
It was just like my childhood self
coming back
out,
again.
Screaming.
I've always wanted to see that song live and it just came back. But did you know, on night two in Dublin, the second girl that he brought up to the stage, he actually kissed.
was that like real though? Is that confirmed?
She said that he kissed her.
Like, we can't go.
But it looked like it was a lot more energetic. That's all I've got to say. It didn't give her like, the first night he weren't giving it that much.
The thing
much.
Is, you couldn't tell from the angle of the video whether or not they actually kissed.
You could just see their faces.
Yeah, were really close, and then
his
it just
was hiding it,
and then it just cut out. So
even the illusion, even the fact that I even thought they kissed, just gassed me. I was like, why didn't that happen for us on the first night?
What, did you want to go on the stairs?
Absolutely not for me. I'm a married woman. Excuse me. I mean, I want to see that fantasy shown for someone else.
Did you want Chris Brown to go like
If I me? Went on that chair, just Chris best me.
Oh my god! The way he sat on the woman, then he just went.
He went. If I would, I have to think about that. Actually, if I was on that chair, I think I'd start laughing. I wouldn't know. I might want to get chugged.
Please,
hang out your hair over there. Stand over there and sing to me. Don't touch me, please, brother. I can look at you.
Yeah, well, I'll just watch you from a distance. But please don't touch.
No, you must have a lot of confidence. I would squirm. I'd be screaming. I'd be like, what the hell?
No, I'd be really scared.
Where are you? Some girl on TikTok was like, I'd be all over him. I would. And I was like, really, would you though? In that situation, I'd be shook. I wouldn't know what to do.
I'd just be really embarrassed.
Oh my God, all those videos.
Oh.
Everywhere.
I'd be embarrassed because you could just see, because every single person in that concert was holding up their phone.
Yeah.
So can you just imagine? They're like,
they're
watching you.
Watch you while Chris Brown grinds on you.
No.
Oh, dear God.
Sorry, that's not a bit
But I do believe on the second night, I think he fancied that girl more because he was giving her the eyes.
She was very beautiful.
Very beautiful. You know, yeah. Shout out to you, darling.
Yeah, well done.
Well done, you scored. Whatever. I mean, they probably kicked her off the stage afterwards. But
who was that artist that like brought someone on stage and then realised they weren't really attracted
oh
to them?
Oh my
and then
God,
told them
it
to
was
go,
YG. That was so horrible.
That's really bad behaviour.
I think that's really rude. That just shows me he goes for a particular BBL type of girl.
Particular body type.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, and he gassed her up.
That was
and then he just walked like, away from her.
When she got really close, that's when he just...
Walked away. I would literally die on the floor. That would be so embarrassing. So I would never come out of my room.
I don't think I'd be able to... I don't know what I'd do, to be honest. I'd just be really...
I'd run to him. Esther, yo, come back. How dare
you do that to me in front
body
of
body shame me because I ain't got a BBL bum.
Do you know what I mean?
That's rude.
I know, that's really mean.
Anyway, if someone said to me, name your top five rappers, like, I'm really not into hip-hop like that. Who's my top five?
Do you know what it is?
Who's your top five? Go on.
My top five rappers?
Yeah, top five of all time.
That's so difficult.
That's how black people suss you out, you know that?
All right, I'm going to start by saying number five is probably Rick Ross. But can I just say why? Because Rick Ross is the type of person to really gas you when you're on the treadmill.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
You're
so in the gym,
from a logical perspective.
Yeah,
okay.
In the gym, I would say Rick Ross because I'm just like, yeah.
I'm getting gassed up.
Yeah, he's like, okay. I'm a boss. I'm like, yeah, I'm a boss.
I'm a boss. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get these abs. Yes.
Okay. And then number four, I'll probably say number Rick Ross. So random.
I know. I thought you were going to say something like J. Cole.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about him. Can I put him in there?
Yeah. Well, you haven't said 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to put J. Cole. I'm going to say Drake. I'm going to say Jay-Z as probably number one. And I also like Snoop Dogg. I want to put Snoop Dogg in there because Snoop Dogg really riles me up as well.
Nice. So there's your top five then.
Yeah. So it'd be like, so Jay-Z, Drake, Snoop Dogg, J. Cole and Rick Ross. But wait. I feel like a Nipsey Hussle should be in there. Do you know what I mean? But Nipsey Hussle, I'm not really too sure about. Am I saying that because I'm grieving?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you.
So it's hard. And then there's also like Tupac and... Biggie, like, it's just hard. It's hard.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to go by people who are alive.
Okay, wait. Let me swap it for you. Top five artists for you,
alive and dead.
Yeah.
Oh, artists altogether.
Altogether. Oh, I can answer this because I listen. I'm not really a rap girl.
You're not Harry Styles.
No, Harry's not my top five. although his last album was amazing.
Top five artists.
You guys really don't rate me if you think Harry Styles. You really don't rate me.
Honestly, do you know I don't really listen
okay,
to...
Okay, top three.
Like, I'll be honest, I don't really listen to a lot of music these days, but I would probably say, like, just going by what I know of the artist and the songs of them that I used to listen to, I would probably say, like, hands down, Drake, first album, you can't really... Like, Drake has a lot of, like, amazing albums, and he's got loads of features as well. And then I've got to put Chris Brown in there because, do you know, that's a bit of me. And then now I've got to put a female in there, so my female would probably
be... A bit of diversity, go on.
Yeah, got to just spread it out a little bit. The female that I would choose in my top three is probably...
You're not going to say Beyonce.
Have I redeemed myself?
Guys, yeah, last week.
I was thinking, should I say Nicki? And then I thought, no.
Oh, Nicki's one of mine.
Let me say Beyonce just to redeem myself from last week.
Because you're not a hater. Do you want to just address that quickly? Because you're not a hater.
I'm upset about my comments on Beyonce, but they were more so conspiracy rather than fact. And to be honest, I mean, if I look at Beyonce and just her general career, like, she's a very amazing woman. Do you know what I mean? I really admire Beyonce.
Thank you for your YouTube apology. Appreciate it. I'm joking.
No, but anyway, honestly,
no,
like,
but I do. I know,
like,
you like
I really
that.
Like, B Day is one of my all time favorite albums. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. That was a good album.
I'm just not a fan of
Renaissance.
Is it Renaissance or Renaissance?
I don't know, but I'm a bit dyslexic, so you know me.
Yeah,
I think it's Renaissance.
I think it's Renaissance, but then I feel like Renaissance.
The Renaissance era.
I feel like,
right?
Renaissance is an American term, and then Renaissance might be British.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, right, let me mine.
You go. So you okay. Did top five or three artists of
Shall
all
I
time.
Do? I'll do top five because you did top five rappers.
No, do you know what? I just after... Yeah, go on.
Okay, cool. So what was I going to say? Right, my top five. First one, I'm going to say Beyonce. Because I actually really like her. B-Day, number four, favourite albums of all time. Renaissance, just got into it recently. I would say Energy. It's a really, really good song.
I should have put Nicki Minaj in the rappers. Right, I'm taking off Rick Ross and putting Nicki Minaj in.
My second one is, I'm going to be judged for this, but it's Taylor Swift. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I know. Listen, Taylor's pen game on point.
And she writes her own song.
Her songwriting on point.
She's actually very talented.
I'm so sorry. She bloody
and
is.
You know, Taylor Swift, I'm not going to lie, I've not listened to any of her new stuff. When her first album came out, best believe I was hooked.
Mate, the songwriting skills, 10-10.
10-10.
When you're on your period, you just broken up with a guy, someone hasn't returned your text, put on a Taylor song. It will redeem you. I'm not, do you know what I mean? I'm just saying that. Anyway, Taylor, top. Favourite song from Taylor at the moment is Cardigan. You should all listen to it. It's amazing. Right, next one. Moving on. Right, swiftly. My next person, who is on my thingy? My next person, I'm going to say SZA, because recently I listened to her last two. Her new album is really good. Oh, I was doing of all time. Okay, of all time. Let me change SZA to Adele then.
So is Taylor definitely in your top five all-time artists?
Yeah. I'm so sorry, wow, yeah.
Has she been getting you through some dark times?
Yeah, let's just say a lot of periods, a lot of hormones. She's got me through it. I'm just saying. Anyway, yeah, oh my God. Taylor is so good. Have you even listened to... I'm going to name you three songs to listen to.
No, I've only ever listened to her first album.
No, her second...
Romeo, say...
Oh, that is dead compared to what I'm talking to.
But obviously she's grown up. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I know Taylor
girl.
From when I was like 17 years old. Do you know what I mean? And then okay. I never listened to her again because I grew up. Because I thought her
Taylor, music, big girl now, does big girl music. She put on her big girl pants.
Really?
I'm fante. Okay, cool. Right, so of all time, I'm going to say Nicki next. I'm doing a lot of females. I'm going to say Drake. I went for an era where I like Mos Def. We went to go see him as well, which is very... Were you there with me that time?
All-time favourite artist, Mos Def.
I actually like a few songs.
Can we
I don't listen. The thing is, though, I don't listen.
I feel
listen
like doing a lot of talking. You're not doing a lot of picking. There's like seven artists that you've
no,
mentioned.
No, I haven't. Well. I've named Adele.
Right,
I've named Taylor.
Start from
I've
the
named
top.
Nicki.
Okay, fine. Start from the top. In order.
Okay, Beyonce. Taylor.
Okay, wait, can you just let me finish? In order, top five. Start with number five, go all the way up to one.
My number five is going to be Drake because he gasses me up.
All right.
Cool.
Cool.
My number four is going to be Nicki Minaj. My number three of all time. I'm going to say Coldplay. I'm so sorry. I'm just thinking about my playlist. Why are you laughing at my playlist? What? Because it's not all rap.
No.
But these are people that I listen to all the time. I'm going to say Coldplay. Second one. Why are you laughing at Coldplay?
Did you say Coldplay's number two?
No, it's three.
Right. Okay, so Coldplay's number three.
And then my second one. My first one's definitely Beyonce. My second one.
Taylor Swift.
She's not worthy of two, though.
This is really hard.
I don't know who my second one is.
Do you know what? Anyway, I just like them all equally. I can't, honestly.
No, I'm going to stick to Taylor number two because I actually really like her at the moment. This is the season that I'm feeling. I don't really listen to a lot of rap, I'll be honest. But top rap groups that gas me up is...
I feel like I used to listen to a lot of rap, but then you just grow up. It's just hard to follow. It's too many words.
It's too much.
I just can't keep up anymore. I'm getting older, slower. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not even into the trends.
I just need slow.
Even though music. I'll move on and just say I'm really trying to get rid of music because it's taken over a lot of things from an Islamic perspective. But you know, that's a goal I'm trying to reach that I haven't reached yet. So we'll see. Anyway. We went to go see Chris Brown and it was amazing.
Do you know what it is? It's really hard with Chris Brown because just in terms of just music alone.
He's amazing.
And just being an artist and a performer, he's very incredible. Like I feel like he's out of this world. If you combine all three elements. But just his social life over the years and just, you know...
The choices that he's made
haven't been good. And it's like, how do you separate...
Can someone be forgiven, though?
How do you separate the choices from the artist?
Exactly. You know what I mean? And that's but what then I really it's like, with. I get you. It's like, now, I don't think I could ever listen to R. Kelly again. But he makes great bloody music.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
But honestly, I just can't listen to him after what he did.
It's just so hard.
Yeah.
R. Kelly was incredible.
Musically. So
just,
it's like...
It's just... Oh, but then that... And then listening back to it, having, you know... Knowing the knowledge that you have, and then realising... You know, the songs were really sexual.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
It's very triggering.
It's just really uncomfortable to listen to now. Anyway, forget music.
Like I said.
Holidays are coming. Do you know what I mean?
The holy days are coming.
I don't know, I see Ramadan as a bit of a holiday.
It is. It's a break for your body and your mind and your soul.
It's a holiday.
I'm actually really excited for Ramadan this year. You know what I really want to do? And I'm putting this out into the world. I really want to go to Umrah.
Oh, me too.
I really want to go to Umrah.
Honestly, I just feel like I've seen so many people and like my stories go and it just makes me about it to you guys. But wow, like imagine experiencing that for yourself.
You know, my mum said to me the other day, you can only go Hajj when Allah invites you. And that really scared me because he hasn't invited me.
Can also just book a ticket.
I know, but it's like the urge. No, but I mean like.
So basically,
the concept in your mind where you
going on Google right now booking it is a live inviting.
I know, I get that, but that's amazing, isn't it? But it's the idea where it's like if you haven't mentally prepared to go to Hajj, you don't ever go.
Yeah.
Like it's like an invite, and then that invite in my head, I'm like subconsciously it makes you want to go even more. Like, are you prepared for Hajj right now? It costs a lot of money, you know.
No, I got student loans to pay.
Anyway, guys, I think we can swiftly cut it there. I don't know if you guys remember, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we asked you guys to send us some happy stories. some happy relationship stories or marriage related stories. And because it's the day of love,
in the spirit of Galentine's,
because we want to share positive stories,
we're going to go ahead and read them.
Indeed.
All right, so story number one. Positive story number one. Salaam alaikum, my dear sisters. I hope you're both well in health and iman. Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I know you wanted a positive story, kind of, so here it is. I have been married for more than a decade and have multiple children by the grace of Allah. But I have to say that I have finally accepted that my husband is in fact the love of my life and actually in love with him.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, hear me out. I know that sounds crazy. I have always loved my husband, but I have no idea what love is. Our marriage was more based on basic respect and friendship and occasionally benefits.
Okay.
Let me go back to why I have come to this conclusion. My mother has always advised me to never show a man that you love him. In fact, I came into this marriage with demands and requirements, which was always adjusted by me, acting like Cat Slater every now and again. I never had any problems. He didn't cause me any problems, but considering I still was doing all my errands for my mother and my siblings, my own family just became an extension of my original family.
Okay.
I went every Friday and came home in time for Sunday evening, in time for school on Monday. I would leave at 6 a.m. or 11 p.m. just running after my mother. If I didn't, it would somehow show that he was somehow controlling me. So I went and he never complained. I would babysit for my siblings during the week in my home and visit my family home in the weekend. It was very normal for me until Allah has tested me with my health and had surgery and none of my family were anywhere to be seen. I wasn't able to run around for anyone and no one ran to support or help me or my babies. It still didn't wake me. I continued running for them. Then lockdown happened. Let's say me and my husband got to know each other. Like he would stare at me whilst we ate breakfast. So funny. Like he would stare at me whilst we ate breakfast he would make for me.
Oh.
We had Ramadan and made food together. I mean, he would stand behind me kneading dough for samosas, lol, like a movie.
Oh my God, this is cute.
And played board games without the kids.
Attentive husband, I'm loving this.
He one day said to me, "You make me so happy, and I can't lie, taking compliments isn't my cup of tea." So I responded with, "Who rejected you?"
That reminds me of me in high school, something I would say.
But that night I felt so good. I had butterflies. I love my family dearly, but I realized that I can still grow my family and still fulfill my duties as a daughter. I don't have to reject my family to be worthy for my mother. I closed myself to having this happiness because I thought it's a way men use and abuse women in our community. So I went in with a defense wall and literally felt paranoid about everything, ready for a fight. But now I secretly love him, but still would never admit it to him without insulting him straight away. Thanks, girls. Do you think mums in our community hold on to their adult children and prevent them from leaving the nest?
You know what it is? First of all, that's such a lovely story. And your husband sounds like he's so nice.
Yeah, he sounds like a dream.
He sounds like the most attentive husband ever.
But you know what's really interesting? Because I'm not going to lie, I know this couple personally. Nice. And they've been married a very long time. And it made me laugh that obviously it was a process of getting to know each other. It wasn't like an immediate... Like, right, I know him, he knows me, I know what he likes, you know, do you know what I mean? It was like a process of just understanding each other, like learning what each other's habits are and like growing in love, which I find so fascinating.
It's just so cute.
Because the way we hear about love stories is, you know, like love at first sight, or like you'll hear, you know, like that people have been dating for X amount of time and therefore love each other and then get married. But then we don't hear about
what's happened after.
What's happened after, and we don't see a trajectory of love increasing within relationships, or the opposite of love, like break. We see more of love breaking down than we see relationships increasing in growth. In love. So that is really interesting, and I love them.
I just love them, and I love how she was able to reflect on it quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I love that she understood the defensiveness aspect, because I think a lot of us do that. I remember doing that. Not per se what she was doing, but more or less
just the acting.
If I did something really nice for him, the next moment I'd think, oh my God, like what the hell he's going to think I'm like.
Yeah, like, it's just a lot of...
Do you know what I mean? And that's me making myself feel like it's not okay to love someone and show them that you love them. And I feel like it's somewhat of it in my head. I'm like, oh, that's so cringe. Do you know what I mean?
Or it's like, oh, no, don't give too much away, or because don't show them you love them too much because they're going to try and walk all over you. You have those...
I feel like... I think that is a lot to do with just the conversations of love that we have with the people that we know in our lives. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of the time, people often talk about the breakdowns in relationships and like how not to get a man to walk all over you, and like how to make sure that you know, he treats you right, so you've got to do this and this. But no one ever sits you down and says, listen, do you know what I mean? No one has those conversations about, you know, growth in yourself and him showing how you love someone. Do you know what I mean?
And it was really interesting to see that it was in lockdown that she started to notice these things. So when everything started slowing down, it's like she's starting to notice these things about her husband that she probably didn't realize before, because London is such a very toxic place to live, like fast paced. She's like, right, we've got a period of like standstill.
Exactly.
And then it just, you know,
and then it's just reignited the love. I love it. But the other thing is, and that's so great for them, because I feel like it's worked a wonder. Whereas like lockdown for other couples, it's been a breakdown, because they're like, you're in forced proximity to really see who you both are as people.
Exactly.
And are you going to accept each other for who they are?
Exactly.
But the question that she asked at the end about, do mums hold on to their children? I feel like to some perspective, and no. Yes, in the sense that I think they expect you to have the same level of responsibility that you've had in the household as before, even though you've moved out and you have a family. Mm. They still kind of lean on you to like show them that support. There's this girl on TikTok that says that she's the family manager. I don't know if you've seen her. No. She's so funny. She's like...
Is she married as well?
I don't know if she's married. I think she's living in the home. But it just makes me laugh. I just feel like the older sisters are always like the family managers. Do you know what I mean? And in some sense, I feel like for the people that I've spoken to, and there's one person in my head that's coming to mind, I just feel like they lean on them for that support. But I don't think it's in a malicious way to like hold you back. Mm. I just think... because our mums often need us and they need a lot of things. And if you're like the eldest person and you were holding the fort for a lot in terms, I just feel like it's natural for them to like go towards you for that. But I feel like if she vocalized, and in her mind, when she wrote that email, she was saying, I felt like I needed to be there for my family to show them that I'm there.
But this is the thing. It's like there's an expectation. Like you've set the bar quite high in that you've shown that you can still be available for your family and also raise your own family, which is too much. Like
it takes it's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot. So I think if it was a case where she was unmarried and still living in the house and, you know, you've taken on all these responsibilities, your mother is going to get used to the fact that you're already holding the fort.
Yeah.
So when you leave and you've got your own family, I think the issue here is she hasn't kind of taken a step back from her family. I feel like she's still very much doing the things that she was still doing. And you can't do both.
But I think it's the fear that she feels like she's letting down her family that's stopping her from letting go.
I agree with that. But it's like sometimes you've got to it's really sad, but you've got to put yourself first.
Yeah.
You've got to put your family first, because otherwise you're just going to stretch yourself thin.
Like, you don't need to go every Sunday.
No.
You know, once a month if you do try. And I mean, it depends. It's you and your family at the end of the day. And what, excuse me, what works for you. But to me, in the email, she wrote that she was going every week. And yeah. It wasn't just for her family. It was also the fact that she didn't want to feel like she was staying for her husband so she didn't feel controlled by him when it wasn't controlling.
It's not the case.
Because
the
she decision, was overthinking it.
Yeah, because it was a decision that she made for her to continue to still do those like family rituals or family...
Just things that you were doing to help your family.
But I also, another thing is if you continue to, like, let's say, for example, do the Sunday thing, it doesn't give your siblings the chance to step up. Yeah, it doesn't give them the chance to step up and take on the responsibilities that you used to, which would in turn give you a bit of a breather because you're still doing what you were doing before for your family and also what you're still maintaining your own. It's just, it's a lot.
It's too much. And the other thing I was going to add to that is if you took yourself away from the situation once, you'd realise that they would survive. Like, there'd be no calamity.
No.
Nothing crazy would happen. Someone would do whatever you were doing.
Yeah.
And all would be well. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think she's kind of realised that now when she said that she got into surgery and she didn't feel like she had the support from her.
Yeah, she was supported.
From her
side. But I don't think that's malicious.
No, I just think...
It's literally like... And I don't even think it's people taking advantage of you. I think it's because of the choices that you've made to actively be there for your family has allowed them to think that you...
Always be there.
Will always be there. And you will always be there to take care of things. So them not kind of rushing to be by your side, I don't think that's malicious at all. No. I think it's just, oh, you know...
It's a choice that they just haven't made.
I'm just going to say, you know, like... Samira has, you know, she just always comes over. Like, they probably don't even see it as her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She just always comes over. She's always around. Like, I don't think they see it as you, you know, like...
You're doing
them. For them. I don't think...
I think they're kind of used to it as well. Like,
yeah, it's just complacency. People are just complacent with good, you know, just things operating well.
And the amount of effort that you give to someone isn't always going to be reciprocated. It's not going to be the same effort that they give to you. So then when you feel disappointed by that, it kind of ignites a reaction of rejection from you. But really, I don't think they saw it in that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I genuinely just don't think that they saw it as, you know, my sister is being super helpful around the house. Love that. I just think they saw it as, oh, she's coming over again, you know, Sunday, she's always here.
But I think, like, there's another thing about London and the London culture that we have, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to this. It's just people don't give each other time. Or like, I don't know if it's people don't give each other time. I just don't think people have the time, I'll be honest. Everyone is so stuck in the cycle of 9 to 5, school drop-offs, dentist appointments, just Bel-Air. There's so much going on that we don't have time for each other. So when someone has surgery, I would really try my hardest to like go see them. But if it doesn't happen... That guilt eats me up because I'm like, oh my God, I didn't do it. But it's because I literally did not have time. Do you know what I mean? And those are, I feel like those are things that we can work on. I feel like back home, people just have the capacity to do certain things. And I don't know if it's capacity or willingness to do it.
This is the thing. I think we do have the capacity to do all of the things that, you know, we're supposed to do in terms of like sunnah. I think we can do it, but it's just that we've just put ourselves in a routine, and then sometimes it's like, oh, I don't think I can do this because I've already got this to do. Do you know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know, it's hard, but we definitely have the capacity. It's what we put in our heads.
I think it's the sense of community as well that we don't have. I don't feel like
the
sense of community, and what I'm talking about is like when someone's sick back home, everyone goes to see them.
But you can still visit sick people here.
Yeah, you can. But I just feel like there's a sense of selfishness in this in the way that
absolutely.
We all live.
No, but it's obviously like Western, like,
do you know what I mean? I just don't think we think about it.
I get there is an element of that, but also I just it's like we can't allow ourselves to be indoctrinated by Western values and to the point where we're unable to do things like visit the sick or you know, keep the ties of kinship. I think all of these things can be done. It's literally what we tell ourselves. Do I have capacity to do this? Yes or no? Do I have time to do this? Yes or no? We have the time because a lot of it goes on just us scrolling on TikTok. Do you know what I mean? We do have the time.
I get that.
Sometimes
I think it's changing your mindset though to think
100% it's like a mindset
that I need to do this. And then the other thing I was going to touch on is sometimes I feel like, and I don't know how to say this without this sounding really mean, but I just feel like sometimes people just don't give a shit in the sense that, not about her, but in the sense that, like, there's just so, people have so much going on in their mind, and you just put yourself in your bed and you go on your phone just to forget about your own problems. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how people can get themselves out of that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know what, stepping out of the house sometimes is a massive chore.
It is.
And like, it's, you know, some people are like so depressed they can't even get out of bed.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, like, it's a real thing.
People would never look at you and think, oh, she's depressed.
Yeah.
Let's give her some grace.
Honestly.
They would just think, no, she's fine. Like, she's still fully functioning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I just
feel like there's a lot of things that factor into it. But I do definitely agree with Colton. There's a lot that we can do.
I know. But we also have to understand as well that, you know, Shaitan is our biggest enemy in this world. And he's really out here just misguiding everyone and, you know, making sure that they don't fulfill those things.
I agree.
So, you know what it is? It's just, there's a lot.
There's just so much, honestly. And I just feel like, well done to you for getting through this. And well done to you for rekindling this marriage, your marriage, and, you know, showing growth. Because now it really motivates others. Because I feel like people often get stuck in the cycle of, if something's not working, that's it. You know what I mean? You just move on, you end it, you get a divorce, whatever.
I haven't spoken to my husband in about 3 weeks. Let's get a divorce.
Do you know what I mean? And I just feel like it's really nice to hear stories like this, because small things like that can really improve a relationship. Mm. And it just shows, like, them being forced to communicate in close proximity, cooking together, doing things together. And you know another thing I've said? Like, as a couple, and I was speaking about this to my husband, like, as a couple, if you, the only thing you do together is watch TV or watch shows, it's just so, like, it's sad. Like, you need to go out, you need to, like, do active things. Like, it doesn't even need to be activities, but like, just do things that you both like, just to engage that. And I know it's hard if you've got children.
Yeah, but does that not go back to like the whole complacency?
Yeah, it is. Like, you've got to hold the fort.
Being in routines and stuff, it really does like stop you from doing the things that make you you.
Yeah.
And sometimes, hold on, I swear to God, I could be having the worst day ever, but if I just go out
and take a walk,
if I just even go as far as Sainsbury's and back, I feel instantly better. Like, in the daytime, not at night.
Yeah.
But I just feel instantly better.
But it's the idea that marriage is work, and you've got to you both have to work at it. And in order to do that, you have to come out of your comfort zone, do things that you're not happy with.
Got to do things together.
Together. Do you know what I mean? If you want to do that pottery class, do it. Bring him along. He might feel anxious about it, but you might start seeing him enjoying it. And then it's like another thing that you've got in common that you can carry on. And it's about building. It's about building the relationship, but you need to have the blocks to build it. And if you've got nothing in common and you're not doing anything together, and like the only things that you're doing is the daily routine of like picking up the kids or let's do the shopping, it's going to get boring.
It's just sad.
And it's going to get depressing, and you're not going to like each other anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really nice that they're, you know,
they're taking time out for themselves.
Taking time out, being in the kitchen, cooking together, that's a really nice thing.
I know.
I love that.
I hope, long may it continue.
Right, so Now we're doing another story, another happy story. And we love happy stories, guys. Just keep them coming, honestly. Right, salam, guys. Since you wanted a nice and happy story, I thought I might share how my husband and I met. I am from a Pakistani family living in Germany. In our culture, people usually meet up at an arranged meeting at home of the potential bride. Then the guy and the girl can chat. Sometimes there are stricter families who only let them chat in front of their parents. Since my parents are religious but very chilled about this, they want me and my sisters to meet the right person and not divorce after a month long. We usually greet the family, the parents talk, and the guy and I talk downstairs with an open door. At this point of the story, I was really annoyed by meeting people like this. At this point of the story, I was really annoyed by meeting people like this. Even though I love my parents, my mother especially thought she knows better than me. Normally before someone visits, they would send a picture of him and basic data like what does he study, work, what he does for the mosque, like volunteering, etc. And things like their age and height. I am not really proud of this, but sometimes there were proposals from guys shorter than me or there was no physical attraction on my end. I know that's not nice to say, but I'm searching for a lifelong partner. I agree with you, sis. Even if I say no to these proposals, my mum would still invite them over. Oh my God, how awkward.
That is a bit awkward.
Also, another point is that many aunties approached me at functions of the mosque or weddings and wanted to talk to my mum about marriage. This all stressed me so much that I started to feel angry. I kept saying I won't meet them. They are ugly, too short, uneducated, etc. I did not know how else to express my anger. Thinking back, I deeply regret how rude I was. I mean, sometimes you've just got to be honest. After a few years of searching, some potential proposals, some guys wanted to take it further and get a second meeting at the house or fix a date. I started to think that there is something wrong with me. So many people came over to our house and I never felt like this is the one. At one point, even my grandpa came over with a potential proposal, but I kept declining. All my aunties told me to lower my standards and get it together. My marriage would be the first in my family. Pressure. Now, this is my 22nd birthday. I have plans to eat out with my friends, but my mum invited a family over. Without asking me, I was so mad at this point, I thought I would meet someone at uni. I have never been in a relationship or something like that, so no idea how that would have happened. Probably would have died alone at this point. Then I see...
A bit morbid.
I know. Then I see the bio of the boy. He is 28 while I'm just turning 22.
That's a nice age gap.
6 years, yeah. Yeah. He started university.
Started university at 28?
No, listen. He started university 2 times but quit both majors and now is working at a good company. Ooh. He just recently moved to the city. That's far away from my parents because of work. My mum invited him over because she liked his mum and the family is very active in our mosque. They are meant to arrive at 2 o'clock. Suddenly, my dad gets a call. They had to drive back and take another car and therefore they will be late. What happens was that they wanted to come with their sister-in-law, but the car was very low and there was too many passengers and the car kept scratching the street and they had to leave the sister-in-law at home and take the guy's Mercedes. They're now on their way and they call my dad again. We again have some problems with the car. We'll fix them and inshallah we'll come back at 3. There was literal oil in the motor and they somehow went to a different route than usual and detected a problem ahead of time. Since the guy knows a bit about cars, he takes it to the gas station and tries to fix it. It's August, it's hot, and I still don't want them to come. My dad tells me and my sisters pray for them so they have a safe journey. And my only reply is, I will pray that they don't come. Meanwhile, the guy was also very stressed out. They start the car and make it to our house. At the house, they all meet my parents in the living room upstairs. My mother forced me to say hi, so I come up and only talk to his parents. We haven't even looked at each other. And my mum breaks the ice and tells us to talk downstairs. We sit down and we finally talk. My first question is, did you ever have a girlfriend? He looks at me to see if I'm being serious, and he laughs and said no. And to prove to me that he's being honest, he tells me about all the bad haram things he's done in his life and that he regrets now. I was shocked at how honest he was, and we had just met. Suddenly, we kept talking and laughing, and my mum brings my birthday cake and that my sister made me. He only then noticed that it was my birthday. He later told me that his parents also made him go to our house and that he just wanted to relax that weekend. He had a rough day moving to his new apartment and had been driving for almost 7 hours to get home for the weekend. He had not looked at my picture or how old I am. He later told me that he also initially wanted to meet someone the same age or 2 years younger. Through all the car breakdowns, he wanted to run back home, but his parents kept saying that my family's waiting and that would be rude. He did not want to get a haircut. His dad kept pressuring him to get one. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want one, so he felt like that was a problem. After talking to him, I knew in my heart that this is my Naseeb. And he is the one that I wanted to marry, and he felt the same. We met once more, and 2 months later, we were engaged. There was still no problem. There were still some problems with the distance. If I moved to his apartment, I would have to stop going to university, and I would have, and that would have been a 7-hour drive for me from my family, and I did not have a license. But alhamdulillah, 2 months before the wedding, he was offered a position elsewhere. We literally are 1 hour away from the family and 1 hour away from his. Finding a flat was really difficult, and he found a nice flat a month before our wedding, alhamdulillah. We have now been married for almost 2 years, and I honestly can say I found my soulmate. He's the most caring, compassionate person I know, and he's so patient with me, alhamdulillah. I'm so grateful that our parents forced us to meet. Probably not the right way, but alhamdulillah for everything. Even after the hard times, you need to have faith in Allah that he'll never disappoint you. God found so many ways to help us, and I think that's because our parents' prayers and good deeds. So grateful to have met my husband and that our families love each other. His parents are like mine, and so are his brothers, and my sisters are so happy to finally have a brother.
And they put a photo in there.
Oh my God. She goes, also, I wanted to say that I love your podcast, and I sent a photo of me and my husband so that you guys so can cute. See.
You guys look so adorable.
You guys are I love beautiful. Them about it. Oh my gosh, she looks so nice. Wow. I love this dress. I love this dress. This is Germany. Ooh. Beautiful house, if that's your house behind. Oh, I love this story. And I just love how they both didn't want to meet, but then it's like a movie.
Yeah. It was meant to happen. It was like serendipity.
Oh my God.
It's a great movie.
Serendipity is a lovely movie.
But yeah, and also she was like really worried about her university, but then, you know, Allah finds a way, and he ended up getting a job where she was able to still go.
Yeah, so she was still able to go, and then they found a flat that was like an hour away from both families, so it was just meant to be. It was very wholesome.
Love that.
I do. I love it too. And I think it's the idea that she just felt really under pressure to get married, and the fact that she stuck to her ground and didn't just get married to someone that she didn't want was great.
But also I like the support from the family as well, bringing suitor after suitor. I know some of them weren't to your taste. However, you persevered,
and you got your man.
You got your mans or whatever.
Or whatever. Anyway, guys, I love a good happy ending.
I know. Oh, I don't really like. I'm just pleased with that story.
I know, and I just love that we had a picture at the end. I can just visualize them. They just look so cute.
We never get pictures sent to us.
I know, we don't. Oh. Anyway, guys, that is our love stories.
That's our love series.
Love series. Next week we'll be back with the trash talk. I'm joking there. But honestly,
we're back with the ratchet scenario.
Anyway, that just shows us, guys, that love exists, and it's there, and there's good relationships, and there's amazing marriages, and people grow together and they love each other. And you know what? We're excited for it because we love love.
I want more happy stories.
I want more happy stories.
Honestly, at one point I was going to cry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys, honestly, I just feel like I love when, and you know what? These kind of stories just show, it gives you hope, but also it shows you like a different example, a different perspective. Like if you're going through something shit and you just hear this, it just makes you feel like, you know what? It something really, good like, can happen in mine.
And like it really warms your heart. Sometimes we need like heartwarming stories, things that make you like still believe that
That love exists.
That love is out there.
Anyway, guys, that is the end of our episode. If you've got any more happy stories, please send them through so we can read them, inshallah.
No, please. I'm really in my feelings at the moment. So send happy stories only, just for a few weeks.
Please.
But then if we're feeling a little bit naughty, we might chuck in a cheeky Reddit scenario.
Indeed. Anyway,
just to balance out the universe, you know. Exactly. Balance is good.
The yin and the yang,
the good and the evil,
and there we have it,
the happy, the sad.
Anyway, guys, don't forget to like, comment and subscribe on YouTube and to download our episodes.
We love you. Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.